Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Got a little treat for all you folks who listen to the show on the website, and there's many, many of you around the country who can't get the AM stations. Hopefully, that'll be expanding however this year, so that number will be just decreasing. So, you know, I got slapped because the last several weeks I have run over. And that's a big no-no in scheduling time in Radioville. So this week I have an adjunct, which you can only listen to on the web. You AM users, you can go to the web, and you folks who listen to the podcast on the web every week, you're all set. And you'll see an audio bar, a third audio bar, a little write-up on it. This is the adjunct, and it's 19 minutes, and I cover some very important things in it, which I'm not going to have time to cover in today's show, and still be a good boy and stay within my allotted radio time. And it includes, and by the way, it's some blockbuster stuff. It includes, number one, a threat by Obama and his chief of staff to audaciously execute executive orders throughout his last year in office. We hope it's his last year. Irregardless of the Constitution, irregardless of Congress, and irregardless, and I quote, of the constraints of law. You really need to listen to this. I also have a warning for you in the adjunct about an economic shock that's possibly coming our way, which would be the depegging of the Saudi Arabian rial, their currency unit, from the dollar. Widespread ramifications, which I believe this government of ours knew in advance when they did the Iranian deal. And it would have some shock effects to your portfolio, your pocketbook, and your family's financial security. Please do tune in for this adjunct. And I cover a few other things too in the adjunct today, which I'm not going to do very often. But those were 3 points, or there are 3 points, including those two, in the adjunct, which I think are extremely important. And, you know, there's just not enough. With all the news going on, with the rat-a-tat-tat of this, that, and the other, and, shall we say, the phobia over the election and what it is masking that's happening in other parts of the government, there just wasn't enough time today to get it all into one show. So the main show here today, for those of you listening on AM, and hopefully you will go to the web and listen to the adjunct, the main show today is going to cover several topics. Number one, I want to tell you, we'll start off with a humorous topic, and that is Mr. Obama and his family, particularly Michelle, his wife. They profess to be so concerned about budgetary things, so concerned about our money, so concerned about the middle class. Oh, they just weep for us, weep for us. And, of course, he's using it as an excuse for closing Guantanamo, which, by the way, another 10 or so folks went out of, including, like, two of the top bomb makers in the last week or so. I think I covered it on last week's show. He uses as an excuse the fact that Guantanamo is costing us so much money to keep open, you know, $4 million per prisoner per year. Well, we're going to go over what the Obamas have spent on travel. And I don't mean business travel. I mean personal travel. And we're going to go over a little bit how entitled Michelle feels she is with her outrageous White House staff, particularly compared to every other First Lady up to now. And I think when I go over that, you'll see just how concerned they are with our money. And you'll see the hollow fantasy, the true progressive smokescreen in Obama's words when he talks about how he's trying to save money by closing Guantanamo Bay, which is, shall we say, a rather key ingredient to the safety, security, and national security interests of the United States and of me and you and our families. It lays bare the truth, as we say. Actions speak louder than words. And then we're going to go over some things which are happening with oil prices. And I know that all you listeners in the oil belt, in the energy belt, Wyoming, Montana, the Dakotas, to a lesser extent Utah, Colorado, this is big news to you. I mean, if you work in any energy-related sector, either you, someone in your family, or one of your friends has been laid off. I mean, I'm not sure the country quite understands what's being done by international forces aided and abetted by this administration, which hates fossil fuels, to undermine American energy. And I mean coal, oil, gas, you name it. And don't believe it's not intentional. It is absolutely intentional. We're going to touch very briefly on what's been happening up there in Oregon on the Hammond Ranch. You remember the Bundy Ranch from 6, 7, 8 months ago down in Nevada and the standoff with the BLM there. As you know, one of the protesters up there in Oregon was shot, and there's a video. I'm not going to get into the weeds on this, but I'm going to alert you. I'm doing some research. I'm going to alert you to some things which could be at play that are not getting any press, both in the Bundy situation, and I touched on it briefly about 6 months ago when that happened, and on this Hammond situation. You know, there's always more than meets the eye. We're going to talk very briefly about Hillary and this latest discovery of 22 emails. This just broke like yesterday. 22 emails which are so top secret they can't even be released, and the games that she's playing, which, you know, 40% of the population are going to get hoodwinked. Either they want to be hoodwinked, or they're just not bright enough not to be hoodwinked. I really don't know which. We're going to talk about that very briefly. And then I've gotten a whole bunch of letters from you folks wanting to know what I think of the Republican nominees, the Republican nominating process, the debates, and who am I behind, and who do I think is best, and who don't I like, and la-di-da-di-da. And, you know, they're all valid questions. Now, I'm going to try and answer those today. And also, I'm going to try and answer them in a bigger picture, a larger American spirit, if you will. And no, I'll tell you right up front, I have not taken sides yet. I do not have a quote-unquote favorite yet. But I have some favorites, and then I have some that I think are just, you know, they need to go away. So, that is the show today. Remember to listen to the adjunct, please. You AM listeners, go to the website. You can just click on that third bar. It'll be well marked for you. And there's some additional information there, all of which is critical. I could have just as easily included it here in the main show, but there's only so much time, right? I guess you can print money. You can buy property. You can grow things. You can do all sorts of stuff. There's one thing that you can never get back. And since we are mortal, it is finite, and that is time. And there's just not enough time in this radio show to cover all the points I think should be covered for the benefit of you, my great listeners. So let's get started. And my producer's gesturing at me. So our audiobooks, Yes, indeed. Those new audiobooks, which rock, I mean, the people who listen to them are just jumping up and down. But they will be very shortly, you know, you can get them right now on the Threads West website, www.threadswestseries.com. And they are, this is the first publishers in the United States to go to thumb drives. You know, no more scratched discs, lost discs, melted discs, etc., etc., etc. The kids lose one of the discs of your 8-disc set and you can't listen to a book. Nope, it's all thumb drive. You can plug it into any device, your computer. There's a little attachment for $4 you can get at Staples. You can listen to it on your phone. Any vehicle that is 2013 or younger, i.e. 14, 15, or 16 vehicles, they have plug-ins right in the vehicle. You just plug the USB in there and off you go. No disc, no CD player. You don't need any of that anymore. And they are great. I really must say they are great. I was listening to the prototype of book one. It was so good. I must say, it was so good. And this is my own book. You know how many times I've been over this book with editing and writing and editors and all sorts of stuff? Wow. Countless. I actually drove 40 miles past the Douglas exit without even knowing it, listening to my own book. That's how great. That's how what a great job the reader, Jack Baer, nationally known voice, did on these books, at least in my opinion, although I'll admit some bias. Okay, enough for the fun stuff. Let's get into the serious stuff. We have a situation evolving here with a president run amok. I mean, he has issued several executive orders this week. There's been another set of regulations which have come down out of his departments. We have the sorry spectacle of Loretta Lynch caught in a vise of Hillary Clinton's emails. We have emails now. There's 18 emails which link Clinton and the White House. In other words, the White House, who professed not to know, the White House, who issued edicts on top of federal law about national secrets, because we know this White House likes to be very secret unless they're communicating with our enemies. There's 18 emails now between the White House and Hillary on her private email. So this thing is like blowing out of proportion. And I might add the Benghazi thing. You know, I said 2 years ago, if you go back and listen to those shows around Benghazi time, you can just type Benghazi, I believe, in the search bar on the website and listen to them. Benghazi was not going to go away, and Benghazi was going to rear its ugly head in the future, and that the last had not been heard of Benghazi. And with that new movie, 13 Hours, and the press it's gotten, and the interviews of the three contractors, SEALs, Rangers, and Marines, who put that book together and on which the movie is based, it is back. And Hillary calling the families of the survivors liars. I mean, the whole world heard Obama, Hillary, Susan Rice, etc., blame this on a video for 2 weeks. And now we've come up with Hillary's emails, knowing that they knew it was a terror attack that very night, which, of course, we all knew to begin with. And I don't think the American people are going to take Hillary Clinton, true to form, I mean, she is what she is, calling the families of fallen American military liars. I think there's blowback there that has yet to be felt. And I'm still really, 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 really interested. I don't know about you guys. I mean, you hear all these things. You've had these congressional investigations, albeit delayed by the Democrats, you know, Elijah Cummings, who's the second in command. He's a Democrat, second in command on the committee. Trey Gowdy heads the committee. We've heard him threaten to resign because, you know, this investigation has gone too far. Let me remind everybody, without the investigation on Benghazi, we would not know about Hillary's emails, her private server, or the leak of highly sensitive, the most highly sensitive national security through hacking to the Russians, Chinese, and North Koreans. We wouldn't know about it. No wonder the Democrats want this investigation closed. Hillary Clinton would have gotten away with everything, folks, and she still might, given this lawless president and his lawless henchman, Loretta Lynch, at the Justice Department. Hopefully, Director Comey at the FBI will put his proverbial FBI foot down and force what should be happening, which is an indictment on now almost countless counts of felonies. And who knows what we're going to find out about what happened to our operatives out there in the field. Have you thought about, let's say you're a spy. You're working undercover in a highly dangerous assignment. You know, you're a plant in ISIS over there in Syria, or you're undercover in Al-Qaeda in Yemen, or anything. I mean, just think about how dangerous a situation that is. What you're risking for the United States. And then, because of convenience, because she's trying to hide her own skullduggery, where she makes money in her foundation, she has your boss, one of the highest people in the government, one of the top 12 people who have access to, you know, for your eyes only information, for her convenience and for her personal gain, and I have a theory about that, for her personal gain, put your life at risk? Now, do you think it's going to be kind of difficult to recruit other people to work in those positions, undertake those incredibly dangerous assignments? I mean, what has she done, folks? Let's say not one secret has been leaked. Now, we know that's not the case. But let's just say not one secret has been leaked. Let's say her personal server there in her bathroom in Chappaqua, New York, was never hacked by the Russians, the Chinese, and the North Koreans, who are capable of hacking the Pentagon. Tell me. I mean, think about big picture here. Don't think about just the emails. Don't think about just the server. Don't think about just the federal law, the administration's edicts, or the document she signed, and I forget the exact name of it with all the zillion documents the government has, when she took the office of Secretary of State and the oath, not that that means anything to her, the oath saying that she would not disclose secrets, would not contain secrets, would not have secrets here, there, and everywhere, except on secured circuits, secured systems. And she would not hold any top secret documents, which obviously, if you have top secret documents in a server in your bathroom, you are holding. And we have the admission of one of her top staff people, going back to 2013, again in an email which has come to light, that they're transmitting these top secret documents over their unsecured BlackBerries. It's in writing. Just like we have in writing from her emails, I think they were released 3 weeks ago, her written emails to her staff telling them to mask the fact that this stuff is top secret and send it anyway. And these progressives, including herself, try and pull the wool over our eyes. You know, these 22 documents are so secret that nobody will release them, period. And Hillary Clinton's campaign here on the eve of Iowa is jumping up and down saying, oh, we demand that you release the emails. What? They know very well that that can't happen. And let's go one step further, which nobody's talking about. What if Barack Obama, who, by the way, is the only person in the United States government who has the ability to declassify those 22 documents so that they can be released, And we'll see what he does. Because if he declassifies them, I think that, that is irrefutable evidence of his traitorous intent when it comes to this country. To release them for political ends, to try and help Hillary, since he doesn't think Bernie Sanders will be elected, and he's not sure he can get Michelle to run, and who knows about Joe Biden, would be the icing on the cake that we already know is baked, right? So she's out there trying to hoodwink us yet again, after lying time and time. I mean, there's countless videos of her saying she didn't transmit or receive classified documents. She didn't transmit or receive documents which were marked classified, even though we have found out that that is irrelevant. Think about what type of person this is that would even request, banking on the fact, perhaps, that they can't release it so she can have her cake and eat it too. I told them to release it and they wouldn't. Knowing full well when she asked them to release these 22 emails that the government will not release because they're so sensitive, that they could not. In other words, she's asking for something that can't happen. But think about the off chance that they were released, which probably crossed, well, not probably, which crossed her mind too. And think about the damage that would do. Think about the men and women who are working for the United States in all sorts of precarious, hugely dangerous situations around the world, whose lives, or worse, would be put at risk by release of those documents, which deal with human intelligence. The most sensitive part of espionage and intelligence gathering. This is a living, breathing human in a hugely dangerous situation. This is not some drone flying around the sky. Think about a woman who would even ask that information be made public. Think about where her heart really is. Well, that's a misnomer. Think about whether or not she has a heart. Anyway, it's going to be very interesting. I think Bernie Sanders, I'm going to make some projections here about Iowa and New Hampshire. I think Bernie Sanders is going to mop the floor with her in Iowa. I think he's going to, like, mop the floor 10 times with her in New Hampshire. It's a very interesting deal happening over on the Democratic side, folks. Very interesting deal. And let's move from one great woman, Hillary Clinton, gag me, to another great woman, Michelle Obama. And of course, this ties in with the anti-American sentiments held by herself, held by her husband, held by the White House, you name it. We don't need to go there. You've heard me talk about this for 4 years. But we do know that Obama has stood up there with his big brown eyes, looking in the camera, lying to us once again, talking about how Guantanamo is a recruiting center. Wrong. Hasn't been for 8 years, you know. All the information's out there, Googled up. And how it's so expensive to keep open at $4 million a prisoner. Do you know what the Obamas have spent, folks, on personal travel? We're not talking about business travel, government travel. You know, flying out to meet a head of state or whatever. We're not talking about the cost which can be attributed just to doing your job that rightfully should be paid, obviously, by the government you're working for. It's your expense account, if you will. We all have one if you're in business, if you're an employee. You know, if you go down to the local station and fill up your car, to drive down to wherever you're driving to have a meeting on behalf of your company. The company pays for it. We got that. That's not a problem. However, I want you to know that the Obamas and more than 60% of these costs are related to Michelle Obama and the kiddies have spent $1.2 billion. That's with a B, billion of our money over the past 7 years for personal travel. Ski trips to Aspen. Their annual Hawaii jaunts. Their annual Cape Cod jaunts. Michelle's jet-setting hither, yither, and yon with the kids for photo ops and shopping in far-off places. $1.2 billion in personal travel. But they're worried about the $4 million a year to keep Al-Qaeda and other terrorist people who have killed Americans, whom Americans died to capture, and who specialize in and have vowed publicly to kill Americans. Somehow it just doesn't fit, does it? And let's go one step further, because Michelle not only likes to spend, about $700 million, I think that's 60% of $1.2 billion, $700 million of your money having a great time at your expense all around the world, shopping and partying and buying clothes and all sorts of great stuff and, you know, running two planes at once rather than one and, you know, sending planes back, I'm not making this up, sending planes back at $200,000 an hour in fuel costs. What kind of carbon footprint is that? $200,000 of fuel costs to pick up the dog. Oh, we forgot the dog, honey. Send back Air Force One. We can't be without Fido on our all expense paid, taxpayer paid vacation. Wow. And we're so concerned about America's middle class. However, that's the tip of the iceberg, as it always is with these folks, right? So, did you know, starting way back when, with the very first president of the United States, right? George Washington's wife. And going all the way through. Up to now, because we have a complicit and disgusting press who have done more to undermine American freedoms by not being the watchdogs, not undertaking the watchdog role they were entrusted with in the Constitution by the founders, because they want an ideological end. They've lost track of their job, which is to report the news and protect the people. If you go all the way back to the very first lady, and you could include Mary Lincoln, who was taken to task for purchasing China for the White House during the Civil War, and Mamie Eisenhower, she actually had to take money out of Ike's salary while he was president to pay for a personal secretary that she needed to help her out with her social events. She paid for her own single personal secretary. If you take the total staff members, I mean, everybody has always agreed up to now that the First Lady is an important function, and she is also the face of the United States. And obviously, she will be accompanying her husband on certain trips, etc. I mean, everybody takes that for granted. Nobody begrudges anybody anything on that score. But up to now, if you go down the list of first ladies who had personal assistants, in other words, their personal first lady staff, will you? I don't know how else to term it. You would start with Mamie Eisenhower, whom I just talked about. She had one, and she paid for them personally out of Ike's salary. Jackie Kennedy had one. Lady Bird Johnson had one. Pat Nixon had one. Betty Ford had one. Rosalynn Carter had one. Barbara Bush had one. Hillary Clinton had 7. I wonder how many Bill will have. Oh, shudder the thought. And I wonder what, I wonder how safe, I'm sorry, you got to laugh at this. I wonder how safe that staff will feel working for, or should we say under Bill? Well, somebody slapped me. Laura Bush had 1. Do you know how many Michelle Obama has? Guess. My producer's looking at me. No, not 10. No, not 15. 22, folks. She is 22. She has more personal assistants than all the first ladies, including Hillary Clinton, who had 7 on your dime, than all the first ladies since Mamie Eisenhower. If you take all the personal assistants that all the first ladies, going all the way back to World War II, had, Michelle Obama has almost double that other cumulative total. It's kind of like Barack Obama running up more debt than all the presidents of the United States going back to George Washington before him. They're experts at this stuff, are they not? And think about Mamie paying that lousy little $22,000 salary, which was pretty good money, by the way, way back then, for her singular personal assistant. And let me tell you what Michelle Obama's personal staff gets paid. These are the people, remember, who are so concerned about the middle class, and they're so concerned about how much we're spending to keep a detainee at Guantanamo. And they're just so concerned about the budget. Yeah, okay. I mean, you at a certain point, you have to laugh, right? Otherwise, you cry. So Michelle Obama's personal staff, Susan Scher is the chief of staff. She makes $192,200 a year. And by the way, every one of these staff members gets the same perks. They don't have to be on Obamacare. They get pensions. They get all this stuff as if they were a member of Congress or a member of a congressional staff. So you see, the compensation doesn't end with just the annual salary, folks. We get to pay for Michelle's overblown, self-indulgent, outrageous, coronate me the queen staff forever. Haven't done the numbers on that. In fact, I'm not sure I want to. I'd probably get sick to my stomach. But anyway, Susan Scher, her chief of staff, is $192,200 a year. Jocelyn Frice, who's the director of policy and projects, really, wow, $160,000 a year. Desiree Rogers, she's the social secretary, $133,000 a year. Camille Johnston, she directs communications. Ooh, I guess poor Michelle, she just can't type her own emails. Oh, that's right, because they were going to Hillary's server. Oh, I digress. $122,000 a year. Melissa Winter, she's the deputy chief of staff. You know, the chief of staff. Michelle is so busy and she's so important that her chief of staff needs an assistant, the assistant to the assistant. But we only pay her $120,000 a year. And then we have David Medina. Oh, he's another deputy chief of staffer. I guess the chief of staff, assistant to Michelle, needs 2 assistants just to keep up with the first lady. He's $110,000 a year. And then Catherine Lilleveld, she's the director and press secretary, $104,000. Frances Starkley, she's the director of scheduling and advance. Am I missing something here? Didn't we just talk about somebody who was, wow. You know, I guess we double up on the jobs here under Michelle. Oh, well, she gets paid $95,000 a year. And then Trooper Sanders, he's the deputy director of policy and project. We got another assistant to the assistant. But that's okay. We don't pay him that much. We only pay him $90,000 a year. And then we got Aaron Burrow, another deputy director, to the social secretary. The social secretary, the assistant social secretary needs an assistant. Once again, we don't pay them much. I mean, it's just $85,000 a year. And then Jennifer Goodman, a deputy director of scheduling. Hoo-hoo! We have all sorts of layers of scheduling here. And yeah, you know, it takes a lot of scheduling when you got to send Air Force One back for the dog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, who's going to coordinate all this important American stuff? We pay Jennifer $82,000 a year. Alan Fitz, deputy, again, an assistant to the assistant, director of advance and trip director for the First Lady. I bet he's really busy with all the trips she takes. We pay him $80,000 a year. You know, with all the travel she does on our dime, I think that poor guy's underpaid. And it looks like he's getting paid less than all the gals on the staff. We need parity. It has to be equal. Didn't the president just sign something this week saying, you know, this affects like 63 million people and will actually result in lost jobs for women and lost opportunities for women, not higher pay? Didn't he just sign an executive order? Listen to my adjunct on the show today, folks, about what he plans on executive orders, according to his chief of staff. Didn't he just sign an executive order this week ordering parity in pay, equal pay for women? Doesn't that mean equal pay for men? You know, Alan, if I were you, Alan Fitz, Deputy Director of Advance and Trip Director, with the busy schedule that you have, figure out all the trips for the First Lady and where she's going to shop and have a good time and ski and what lift she's going to ride in Aspen, I'd go for a raise. I would sue the federal government for unequal pay because you only make $80,000 a year. And then we have Dana Lewis, Special Assistant and Personal Aide to the First Lady, $77,500. And then we have Samanti Mustafi. Interesting name. Associate Director and Deputy Press Secretary, another assistant to the assistant to the assistant, $72,500. Kristen Jarvis, Assistant for Scheduling. Wow, we have four people scheduling for the First Lady. Whoo, she's busy gal. $70,000. Tyler Lechtenberg, Associate Director of Correspondence. Associate Director of Correspondence. Wow, who comes up with this stuff? $70,000. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he only gets paid $65,000. He's one of those men. We underpay men here for the First Lady, you know. Equality is a halfway street, folks. It's a one-way street, not a two-way street. Didn't you know that? And then we have Samantha Tubman, Deputy Associate Director of the Social Office, the assistant to the assistant to the assistant. She makes $63,000 a year. And then Joseph Boswell,